This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 260 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Hey, where am I from?
Creative Photo Workshops.
Because, yeah, it's always Bruce Williams, Shudders Inc. Podcast.
Why have you not brought that up before? It never even occurred to me.
And him. And he's here too.
That is a really good point.
And I know. I had one.
First for everything.
Good thing we're recording. I've got proof.
Yeah, exactly. There you go, brain. The smartest thing you'll ever say, and nobody heard it.
I've been good, but I'm in a bit of a quandary.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little bit. I've got a bit of a problem. I don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
And I've sort of been backed into a corner, and I've got to do this photo shoot.
Right. Right.
Some bloke from Sydney's coming down, and he sort of cornered me, and I didn't know why to say no.
Right.
So I had to kind of say yes, and now I've got to give my Monday nap up just to go shooting with this guy. Any suggestions how I could get out of it?
Ooh. That's a tricky one.
Tell you what, I'll figure out. When I see you on Monday, I'll figure out.
Yes.
Excellent. So you're coming down to my sunny.
I am. Now, last week, I kind of hinted at something exciting that was happening in my professional career that I wasn't quite ready to talk about. And this week, I'm kind of a little more happy to talk about it for two reasons. One, it'll be public knowledge by the time this podcast comes out.
Because we're all Googling it.
That's right. As if. And secondly, what was only a maybe a week ago is now confirmed and locked in. It's Thursday night as we are recording this podcast, and this Saturday night, which will be, you know, past history by the time this podcast comes out, so it's okay for me to talk about it. Kylie Minogue is doing an invitation-only show in Melbourne on Saturday night.
Who?
Yeah. You know Danny's sister?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So she's doing this invitation-only gig that the Australian Radio Network have signed her up for, and it's sort of invite-only to our listeners. And a week ago there was a possibility that it was definite that it was going to be recorded, right? The show would be multi-track recorded, and someone was going to have to remix that show, ready for broadcast. Now, I've kind of pushed myself into the position of being the guy that people bring these multi-track mixes to whenever we do one of these live shows. So,
everyone stood backwards and you didn't pay attention and you're the guy at the front of the queue.
Damn straight. And I'm happy about that. Don't you worry. Because I love it. I really enjoy mixing music. And
of course, you're a nerd.
Yeah, exactly. And so as it happens, you know, they've said to me, yeah, you'll be mixing the Kylie Minogue show ready for iHeartRadio and for broadcast on the Australian Radio Network. So I'm stoked. I'm really looking forward to it. So Thursday of last week, an email went out to all staff saying, we've got very limited quantity of double passes that we can give out. If you want one, send us an email. We'll put your name in the hat and blah, blah, blah. And I put my name in the hat, not thinking that I would get a double pass. And lo and behold, got to work on Tuesday of this week. And there was an email saying, congratulations, you're one of the 10. You can, you know, you've got to find your own way to Melbourne and pay your own accommodation and everything, but you know, you get the double pass to go and see Kylie. So,
you could have stayed at my place. That would have saved you the hassle, and we could have gone together and enjoyed the show. And
well, as it happens, this weekend is Kath's and my wedding anniversary.
Oh, as it happens,
yeah. And we actually had alternate plans. We were going elsewhere. We were going out bush.
I think I told you last week you should have come down and made it your anniversary special.
Well, there you go. It's happened. So we're coming down Saturday, see the show Saturday night. Sunday's our wedding anniversary, so we'll do something together, the three of us. And then Monday, you and I are going to get together and go and do a shoot.
Oh, Oh, that's right. We are Turkey.
Yeah. And then I get back to work.
I feel a bit of a cold.
A bit of man flu creeping up. And then Tuesday, I get back to work and it's like straight into it. I've blocked out the whole of Tuesday in my calendar to remix this Kylie Minogue show because it's got to go to air Friday, but after I've mixed it, they need to send the mixes back to the UK for approval. So basically all day Tuesday I'll be remixing the show. So it's going to be a pretty hectic week. And then we've got another concert happening next week on the Tuesday night, which I'll be remixing as well, but I'll have a week and a half up my sleeve to get that one mixed, so that one won't be quite as pressing. But yeah, so it's all happening.
Speaking of concerts, you'll be jealous to know my mate, who's a big Bruce Springsteen fan like yourself, met the man the other day.
I know. I saw the photos.
He gets around, doesn't he?
That's amazing.
Bruce and my mate.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my regular models Facebooked today saying that she's in the Kylie Minogue video today.
Wow.
The work to be in the video. So that's another Minogue link.
Wow.
And the closest thing I've got to a Minogue link is I talked to Danny Minogue on the phone once.
Yeah, right.
I called her up, said, "G'day, Danny, how you doing?"
And she said, "How'd you get this number hung up?"
I thought the court order said. No, Richard Branson gave it to me.
Of course.
It did.
Right, okay.
So I used to work for Richard Branson. Years and years. Yeah. Oh. 18, 19 years ago now.
Seriously?
Years.
Which business?
Yeah. His personal business.
Wow.
I've helped organise a staff party for him.
Wow.
For all his staff and all his businesses.
Wow.
Which was, at the time, I think it was like we had 20-odd thousand people coming to the party.
Whoa.
It was at his place in Kidlington, just outside of Oxford.
Wow.
In England. And it was over five weekends. It was like 4,000 people on the weekend.
Whoa.
And my job was to, one of my jobs was to call people and invite them. And people like Danny and other celebs and stuff. And
wow. And get
past, yeah, so that sort of stuff. That was kind of cool.
You name dropper. That's awesome. Wow,
you know. Yes. You know, what's really embarrassing is Richard keeps dropping my name out.
Of course he does.
In court orders.
Trying to prop himself
in
up.
In lawsuits.
Make him look.
Other than the exciting news of Ms. Minogue, what else has been happening this week? You've been taking any photos?
I haven't. It has been so. I know. It's just been such a frantic week because my offsider at work's been off on annual leave. So I've been flying solo for the whole week. And because today being the Thursday prior to a long weekend means that, you've got to produce 4 days worth of commercials in one. On a regular Friday, you're producing 3 days worth of commercials in one. But normally I've got an offsider to help me. So it was pretty manic this whole of this week. So no, the camera hasn't been out of its bag this week.
Well.
So hence why I'm looking forward to Monday. I'm looking forward to getting out and actually doing a shoot.
Yeah, well, we're going to have some fun. We've got some models lined up. We've got some locations to break into.
Excellent. Love it.
And we'll see what can happen. We'll have some fun, which is half of what it's about, isn't it?
Exactly.
Fun. Stop drinking your coffee whilst I'm talking.
Well, I can't do it when I'm talking, so.
I don't know. I'll have to try. Hang on a second. No, you can't.
So one of the things that I did find in my quick 5 minutes of research prior to recording
You didn't ask me how my week. This is 2 weeks in a row, dude.
2 weeks in a row. This is just shocking. Actually, I think it's about 15 weeks in a row. How was your week?
That was right.
And I think that's the same response I got last week.
It was my daughter's third birthday on the weekend.
Oh, okay. So she's no longer Miss 2.5.
I took some new photos of her and put it on Facebook, introducing Miss 3.0.
Excellent.
But I set up a lovely little portrait of her, a little table, one of my black shirts on the table, black backdrop, with natural light, and her holding a cupcake with a candle on it.
Oh, is this the temptation? No, that was with fruit.
That was with the older kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a series of three shots. It's a triptych of her holding the cupcake, smiling,
right,
looking at the candles about to blow, and then blowing it out. And it's just a triptych. It was just beautiful little.
Cool.
Nice little images of capturing someone who's important to you at an important stage of their life. So that was kind of cool.
You should get three small canvases made and hang them.
Well, I'll probably get one small canvas.
It's kind of like the modern equivalent of the 70s ducks on the wall, you know?
Exactly. I like it. And I've got some new costumes arrived during the week for because I was kind of been pushing poor Victorian girl quite a bit of late.
Yeah.
So poor Tudor girl arrived.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Stop drinking your coffee. poor Tudor girl arrived this week, and Tudor princess. So Tudor girl got a run through so far, but I haven't done. I might do over this weekend. I might do a bit of princess action.
Sorry, I didn't think to tell you about it simply because you're in Melbourne and this is in Sydney. But the guy who runs.
Oh, I was going to mention it last week. Yeah.
What?
The guy who does the costumes is closing down his business, well, selling all the stuff.
I don't know if he's closing the business down or if he's just trying to cut down on the amount of stuff that he's holding, but his collection of costumes and props is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if that interests you, if you were looking
to... I went to his website and looked through his stuff and couldn't find anything
His website is awful.
It's terrible.
I love the guy to pieces. He's a mad collector, and you know, and he's super helpful, and he knows his periods like you wouldn't believe. You know, you're telling me, I want something that's, you know, 1860 Civil War. And,
well, 1862 March. He's 1862 March 22.
Yeah, man, he's like that. He seriously knows his stuff, and he's got, you know, amazing stuff. Like, I don't know if I've told you the story, but hanging on the wall in his shop is not a replica, but Jim Morrison's actual leather pants.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the car that he drives and that he's
on the wall as well. Oh.
No. And the car that he drives as his regular everyday car is the Jensen Interceptor that used to belong to Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
Yeah, like seriously, this guy is a collector of the 11th degree, you know. But so he's sort of getting rid of some of his stuff. So I don't know, if you are looking for more stuff, you should definitely give him a call because he could certainly tell you more over the phone than you'll ever find on his website. Anyway, sorry. So poor Tudor girl has arrived.
You should put the link in the. I meant to mention this last week. You should put the link into the show notes to his website, just in case people are interested.
Yeah, look, I will do that. So just to backtrack, a week ago, Jeff sent out this email to everyone on his distribution list saying that he was looking to cut down on the amount of stuff that he's holding, and so he's just looking to sell off some costumes and props. His business is called Jeff Walsh Entertainment. It's in Canterbury here in Sydney. As I mentioned, I used Jeff for almost all of the Sydney meetup shoots where we used costumes and props. He's just got a fantastic collection of stuff. So I will put the link in the show notes. But as I've said, his website is not particularly well organized and it's nowhere near representative of the quantity and quality of stuff that he's got.
I hope not, because there's shocking stuff on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
The photos
and
are
not
diabolical.
Well photographed either, you know.
Diabolical, yeah.
So, yeah, for anyone who's looking to just, you know, if you're just after some costumes or some props and things just to put into your own home studio for future shoots, definitely worth giving Jeff a call. I'd recommend giving him a call rather than looking on the website because you'll get far more information over the phone. But, yes, I will put that information in the show notes.
Cool.
So, anyway, getting back to poor Miss Tudor.
Back to me.
It's all about you, mate.
So, Bruce.
Yeah.
If you like it, you'd better put a ring on it.
Right. What are
you
we
know
talking,
what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
sing, sing
by the
ladies.
Way, just backtracking just a second. A minute ago you said backtracking. Is that one of those audio speakers, dude? Just to backtrack a bit.
If you say so.
Isn't that what they do? They backtrack when they play a song and then say what the song was when they finished?
No, that's a back announce.
Oh, back announce. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I thought you were being all audio on us. No. I'm just being my regular idiot. if you like it, well, you better put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know the song?
Yeah.
Annoying as all get out.
Yeah.
Horrible. Well, I was watching the TV the other day. that was playing in the background, and this thing came on, and I went to go change channels because the sound of the thing just was like, you know, it's ice pick in my eardrum.
Pleasant.
And I looked up, and I saw the most amazing thing on the screen, and I watched it all the way through.
Then Beyonce shaking her butt.
Then I rewound it and watched it again.
Right.
The lighting.
In that video?
Astounding.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to look at studio light, is interested in studio lighting or how lighting affects lighting a subject, how you can shape and flatten and increase and decrease contrast and change complete feels and moods,
yep,
just by lighting, watch this thing. It's phenomenal. And then watch it and watch it and watch it over and over again.
Really?
It is so well done.
The, yeah, the video for Beyonce, Single Ladies.
Yeah, Single Ladies.
Wow. Okay.
Because the whole thing is one, it's one take all the way through.
Right.
Okay. So there's no break in their dancing. So they're just moving around, doing all their dancing. And all that changes is their body positions, which is nothing.
Yeah.
But what changes is the lighting and how dramatically it changes the textures and the contrast and the depth and muscle tone. And it's masterful lighting.
Right.
Absolute masterful lighting. And once again, what's great about it for me, and now I know this stuff, so it's not like it's well, I never knew that. So I know this stuff. But what's great for me as a teacher is just seeing that just how in just a fraction of a second, which is an alteration of your light sources, how completely can change the scene. And then flip it back again. And that's what they're doing all the way through. They're changing, flipping the feel and mood of the lighting live.
Yeah, right.
And it's just wonderful to watch. Yeah, it really brings home the importance of light and how and where its direction, its volume, its quantity, its everything. It's just wow. So I loved it.
I will have to give that another watch with that in mind because I must confess I've watched it, you know, a few times, but never really paid attention to the lighting.
So there's your homework for the week, dude.
Right.
And let's talk about it again next week. See what you think.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I was delighted. So anyway, you were about to rabbit on about the three things you found 2 minutes before we started the podcast. What was it?
Well, before we go to there, because you were just talking about how this video was one unedited shot.
Yeah.
One of the things that I came across in my 5 minutes of research prior to recording was a promo video for this handheld rig for the Red camera.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little 3 minute short and it is so worth watching. The whole thing is a combination of Steadicam, flying camera moves like on a Phantom drone, and some gimbal moves and slider moves and all this sort of stuff. But it's all one shot.
Wow!
And it is phenomenal. Like, I thought the way they shot the West Wing was amazing. This just takes it to a whole nother level.
Man.
And it's only 3 minutes, an easy watch. And, check it out.
Speaking of easy watches,
yep.
did you watch that, what's his name, Scott Kelby video the other day?
I did.
You did?
I didn't watch all of it, as you suggested. No, I just went into the 10-minute mark and watched that 5 minutes. And, yeah, he got very emotional about, you know, yeah, just training and why it's so, you know, why it means so much to him and the whole backstory about, you know, his time as a musician and this guy that wouldn't share his techniques and why he did certain things, you know, that it really got under Kelby's skin. It was
good to watch. So
yeah.
I enjoyed that.
So anyway, one of the other things that I found was there is a bill that's been put before Congress. A truth in advertising bill.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Well, that's the whole point. There's a senator who has put this forward, and I can't remember her name, just bringing up the page now, but she's put forward this thing suggesting that what they need is a bill that forces disclosure when Photoshop has been used. And I think, you know, this is probably not a brand new argument. It's probably been kicked around a little bit. Sponsored by Ileana Rose-Liitinen, I think, Republican from Florida. Yeah. And, so she's basically put this bill forward. So it'll be interesting to see whether they get it through.
Well, if you ever watch any sort of any adverts in the US and you see any sort of medical advert, the disclaimers at the end of the advert is always twice as long as that advert itself.
Yeah, exactly.
This eye ointment may give you this disease, these heart conditions, these cancers. It goes on for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. There's honesty in advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
I
love the fake ones that The Simpsons do. They're always a rip-off of that.
You know? I can't say I've seen those, but that's one. And noticing here, watching kids' TV a fair bit, whenever they're advertising kids' toys, there's all these little disclaimers. The toy does not actually talk. The toy does not move. The toy does not do this. So, what's the point of the toy?
Exactly.
Truth in advertising. Be careful what you ask for.
We love it.
Buy this awesome jumper and your ass will still look fat, but in really nice clothes. That was there's a Robin Williams movie where he was an advertising executive who decided to do everything honestly. And, his adverts and stuff like, Volvos, they're boxy, but they're safe.
What movie was that?
I can't remember. He got thrown into a mental asylum.
That's the one. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
No, that wasn't it.
Yeah. It'll come to me. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about now. Patch Adams. Are you sure?
Yeah, that's when he was a doctor.
Oh, okay.
And he was going.
Didn't he get thrown into a mental institution in that one?
As a clown. He was like a clown trying to patch out. It's definitely not that one.
Okay.
The World According to Garp. Was that it? No, not that one.
All right.
It's funny because he's doing advertising show again now too.
Oh, is he?
He's doing a TV show called The Crazy Ones.
Oh,
which
really?
I've never seen it, but something to do with advertising. So,
a comical version of Mad Men.
possibly. Well, you got me excited. That's all. I'm IMDBing it as we speak. And, there's Patch Adams. Oh, that's not it. But an idiot. Flubber. No, that wouldn't be it. Great minds think for themselves. I don't think so. What's it, Robin Williams? This is where the next question's going. You have to get into your head. Oh, maybe I was wrong. Being human? No, that wouldn't be it. No. Mrs. Doubt? No, I don't think it's Mrs. Doubtfire. There we go. We're getting there. No. This is riveting radio. Thank God it's not a TV.
Yeah.
Dead Again? No, possibly not.
Well, while you're looking for that, I wanted to mention that through the week, Google came out with...
As soon as you start, you realize I'll find it.
Google came out with their own official, with their own official camera app. Now, Google, as you know, is behind the Android operating system, and Android has its own camera built in. But Google have actually developed a proprietary Google camera that you can install to an Android device from the Google Play Store. A couple of things that are really cool about this camera: one, it has a warning that pops up on screen if it detects that you are shooting video and holding your camera in a portrait orientation. It's like, hey, no, nut, you're doing it wrong. Which I thought was really cool. And the other really cool feature is, we've spoken about the Lytro camera.
Yes.
And about how you can take a photo and then adjust the, the point of focus after the event. They've kind of done something a little bit similar, and I because I haven't installed the camera yet, I haven't had a chance to play with it. I don't know exactly how it works, but they have developed some sort of feature in this Google camera which allows you to get sort of DSLR-like effects of, shallow depth of field after the event. After you've taken the image.
It's called a filter.
I don't know if that's it. I was listening to a tech podcast and they kind of made it sound like it was more like the way the Lytro light field works. But I haven't experimented with them myself. So,
Speaking of Lytro, they came out with a new camera this week.
Now, I saw that headline, but I didn't get a chance to look at the
actual
story.
The only headline I saw was Lytro change photography. Now, can it get anyone to care?
Yeah, exactly. So what's the new camera?
I don't know, it was a loom or something like that. Wasn't.
But what does it do? How's it different?
Nothing. It's just a bigger sensor. I think that's about it.
Oh, okay.
So the movie.
Yes.
Funny enough, was called Crazy People.
Oh, okay.
And Robin Williams was his part. Robin Williams was being played by Dudley Moore.
Good on ya. I was thinking to myself, I don't remember it now.
You can see how I get them confused. They're both about the same height.
Oh, well, of course. That's all it takes. They're the same height. They could be the same person.
But they were in my mind, obviously. Dear. I always did that. I love that duo of Robin Williams and Peter Cook, though. I thought they were fantastic.
Boom, boom.
The early comedy stuff. Brilliant. Anyway. His movie Arthur was good, though. What else you got?
That's it. That's all I got on my 5 minutes of research.
How pathetic!
I'm sorry.
I've got a bunch of stuff actually. I got a bunch of stuff. But I had a thought before we came on air, and I thought let's talk about that.
Did that
before
hurt?
We go any further? Well, yeah, the wife had to still calm me down a bit. Yeah, you know. Right. I had a eureka moment. I've thought of something. Yeah, know, running around like my 6-year-old. Because we've been talking a lot over the last, I don't know, however many podcasts we've been doing,
yeah,
about has photography changed?
Yes.
With digital? And I said no. And I still believe that. However, vision has.
Vision in the creative sense?
Creative, because people think differently now than they did 50 years ago.
Right.
And because they think differently, they shoot differently.
Mm-hmm. Do we think differently because of the technological advances?
Well, it's more than just technological advances, though.
Oh, okay.
Because it's physical. It's physical appearance. It's mingling with the greater cultural variations.
Sure.
In our lives, which didn't happen 50 years ago as much. It's the longevity of life. It's the vibe. It's everything.
You know? It's Mabo.
It's everything. It's everything that's come together to make modern person the way they are.
Yeah.
Changes your concepts and your vision about what is the things you shoot. And if you go and look at the photographs of 100 years ago,
yeah,
once again, a very early medium and it was technologically slow as well, so they had limitations to what they could shoot.
Right.
So we've eliminated those technological issues quite a lot.
Yeah.
But our vision, and that's why I said if two people go out to shoot the same thing standing next to each other, they'll both shoot different things.
Yeah.
Because their vision is different.
Sure.
And their vision is different because they're different people and they think different ways and see things different ways.
Yep.
So I think our vision is changing, our creative vision is changing based on just where we are as a race now from where we were 50 years ago or even 30 years ago. And it brings up this other thing I was going to talk about tonight was that this company called Pathé, British Pathé, they used to bring out all the old news little bulletins before movies back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, on.
Yeah. Like the movie-tone news.
Yeah, pretty much the same kind of thing. Yeah. But these guys yesterday on YouTube released their 85,000 films they have on their archives.
Wow.
One hit, bang, 85,000 things opened it so you can just go and watch anything.
Wow.
And there's one video which I've sent the link through, which is like from the 1960s, and it's a holiday camp where there's a photographer running a photography workshop.
Right.
Yeah, but if you just watch the way they go about things, the way they think what makes an image interesting or not.
Right.
That vision, that mindset of 1960s England versus 2012 or 14, whatever year we're in, modern life is so radically different.
Yeah, right.
I mean, no one would probably even take the photo they were taking there.
Yeah, right.
But you have to watch it also for the voiceover.
Oh, okay.
Because it's got those that really, ho, yes, and wouldn't you believe they've come to take their cameras out and take photos of the pretty lady in the bikini.
Right.
Kind of. And I'm thinking about getting that guy to do my voiceover for near my videos. He's fantastic. But it's all this sort of typical 1960s English, slightly bawdy humor there as well. Oh, yes, they've come to learn about their cameras. Ha, 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 ha. Sort of
right.
That sort of intonation.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing. The vision of what made a photograph in the 60s versus what makes a photograph now is so radically different. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's not the technology, I think, that's changed that vision, though. The okay. technology, I think that we think differently as a race, therefore we shoot differently. But I think that's I think that has had more impact on photography than the change from film to digital or almost anything else. It's just our development as a race.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And our belief that we can do anything.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, you go back in the 1960s England, you know, 1950s, 1960s, just after World War II, that wasn't the mood.
No.
The mood of the world was not, we can, the mood of the world was we could die in a minute in a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, don't think about tomorrow because that might not be one. I mean, that's really going to change the way you think about what you can take photos of, isn't it? Yeah,
it's definitely.
Impact on everything. So I thought that was really, to me, that was an eye-opening moment in my thought process of photography was that change as a race, of what we believe we can do, what we believe we're entitled to in some ways, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I really think that affects vision a hell of a lot. So, you don't have to agree with me. That's okay, you bastard.
No, I haven't seen them yet. Jeez.
No, I mean the concept of vision. You have to agree with that.
Of course.
Just because it's brilliant and it's too far above your pay grade to understand.
That's right.
But definitely go onto the archive of this of the YouTube channel and just look at some of the stuff on this. This is brilliant. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a video link I've got sent through as well from a 1920s Dublin Camera Club walk.
Right.
And they're going for a walk along a river taking photos. And, you know, watching 1920s photographers shooting is brilliant. You know, it's fascinating overcoming the distinct things they have to overcome technology-wise, but also what in the hell are you shooting that for? The process, you know. Because remember, in those days, capturing anything on a camera was interesting.
Yeah.
You take a photograph of a duck on water.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well,
ooh, that was a hell of an achievement.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now we're going. Yeah. We at best we'd take it with our iPhone and dismiss it photographically. There's no art to it.
Yeah.
They say you can't go out and take a photograph now that somebody hasn't already done.
Yeah.
But in those days, you could.
Yeah. Now we get excited about people taking photos of themselves in the mirror in the toilets.
The selfie. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We've come so far.
Oh man, it's true. But I said that whole database is searchable, so you can go search through whatever historical event over the last sort of 80 odd 90 years, tickle your fancy.
Yeah, right.
Go and watch a video on it. Here's the thing: I watched two videos on photography workshops.
Right.
Same voiceover guy.
Right.
Half of his content was exactly the same word for word. It's like, is this a recording? Yeah. Well, it was definitely a recording, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that was it. And then by chance, I came across just after that, an imaging library in New York has opened up their database of 90,000 images. So 900,000 images.
Whoa.
Of New York.
Wow.
Over the last journey of photography, you know. Which is A, if you love history of photography, or B, just love New York.
Yep.
It's pretty terrible. It's the New York City Department of Records.
Wow.
It's their municipal archives.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you can go back and watch all the gangland murders. You can go watch the Hindenburg. Oh. You can go watch anything. You know, from the this one looks exciting. This headline: 1980s tax photos. Yeah. You know, when I'm saying there's 900,000, they may not all be gems. That's all I'm saying to me. They may
you
not
might
all
have
be
to
gems.
Sort through some crap.
Oh, yeah. But I reckon there'd be I mean, I love New York. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And we've all seen those iconic shots of New York skyscrapers being built. With the workers out on the grid on the girders and stuff.
Yeah,
and
safety harnesses and
it's just wonderful stuff to look at. And so I'm sure there's gonna be a stack of that sort of stuff to look at. And
yeah, I'm just looking at one now. How did I get to this? Scroll down the left hand side to WNYC Radio, Film and TV.
Oh, of course you had to go straight to radio.
Yeah, and then of the 7 icons that come up, the one in the bottom left, the black and white photograph, of the guys in a radio studio. It looks like a radio studio. And the really ancient equipment and the Bakelite microphones and love it. I love
it. That's what it's all about. And I think whatever you've got an interest in, you better find something on this list of stuff that'd be kind of cool to look at, you know? That's
cool. I'll have to check out that site some more.
Yeah. Oh, I love photography. You may not have noticed. I love it. And speaking of photography, that's what we're supposed to be here to do.
Yeah.
I saw this on, I think it was Kickstarter or one of those sites last year and never sort of brought it up.
Right.
But they're about to start shipping these new 4x5 travel cameras.
4x5 centimeter?
No, 4x5 inch.
Oh, okay. So we're talking
the big plate camera. Big old-fashioned plate camera.
Do we consider that medium format or large format?
Large format.
Right.
Well, it's large medium. Of course, it's bigger than that too. But it's back in the old days, we used to put a plate in and put your head under the fabric. All the old Graflex cameras that they used to use for all the press guys. It's all sheet film stuff.
Right.
But this company called Wanderlust Cameras have brought out a travel camera version of it, not much bigger than the old Polaroid cameras.
Right.
Going to be selling for $150.
Wow.
You've got to put your own lens on it.
Oh, okay.
But it takes the old and larger lenses and stuff, and there's lots of lenses out there secondhand you can pick up pretty cheap for it.
Yeah, right.
In fact, my old mate Dean Jones out in Croydon down here in Victoria, he builds cameras, these 4x5 cameras, in it, Razzle cameras, or used to. I'm not sure if he's still doing it anymore. But these things have 13 times the area of a so-called full-frame camera.
Yeah, right.
So the negative is massive, but finally in a small portable pack. And if you want to play with film, play with it seriously.
Yeah, right.
Get a camera with some serious resolution.
For lovers of bokeh, get out there.
Well, it's going to be seriously cool. So then I said once again, the problem with those cameras was on with so big, so heavy. You know,
and now
finally into it to a size that's manageable, which is great.
Yeah, right.
And I saw also this week, speaking of other stuff, that Getty Images and Flickr have severed their arrangement.
Ooh.
So that Getty's no longer trawling through Flickr trying to find photos that can say, can we have your photo for 15 cents an image or whatever?
Yeah, right.
And they've severed their agreements, which is a fairly big thing, I'd have thought. Yeah, the so-called largest stock gallery in the world and the largest image repository in the world.
Yep.
Well, probably outside of Facebook, but it's. But here's the thing: I was reading this in the Photo Business Forum, and this is one of their paragraphs, which I thought was salient and interesting to listen to. Of course, the agreement didn't end before Getty sifted through what they characterize as their having assessed over 90 million images.
Wow.
Selecting 900,000 of them from 42,000 contributors as part of our Flickr. Now, they pestered me for ages. I never did any of them, but this is where the business side goes. And interestingly enough, using the 15 cents per image valuation factor Getty is said to use to value their collection, that's only a valuation of $135,000 for those 900,000 images.
Right.
Okay. And it took them 5 years to sift through these 90 million images to get, at best, $135,000 worth of images.
That sounds like a losing business proposition.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they paid editors more than that to cull through all the images.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a very bad decision. So that was, you can probably see reasons. Now, I'm hearing all sorts of stuff about Getty as well. They've got this massive, massive loan due to be repaid sort of like next year or something.
Right.
And they're scrambling to try and find income.
Some income.
We're talking in the region of $1.2 billion.
To who?
Getty's owned by another company, and they took out a loan to buy Getty.
Ooh.
And I think they paid $3.3 billion for Getty and back in 2012 or something, or 2010.
Right.
And part of that loan comes due next year, and that's $1.2 billion. That's
a
lot of 15 cent images, really.
Yeah.
They might have increased their prices to a dollar.
Maybe.
So that's going to be interesting to watch. Yeah,
yeah.
That could shake up the whole stock market.
Seems like maybe somebody overpaid for Getty in the first place.
Does sound an inordinate amount of money for it. I mean, I don't know what their turnover and everything's like, but that is a huge sum of money. Yeah. So that'll be something worthwhile keeping an eye on, I'd imagine, over the next year or so. And then I noticed that another one of the very well-known American camera chains has gone out of business this week.
Oh, really?
A company called Calumet, which are very, very well-known for their secondhand stuff as well.
Okay.
Been going since 1939. I think they had like about 40 stores, something like that. But yeah, gone overnight. Now people, you know, got people dropping their stuff in to get repaired. And all of a sudden, the website's gone. It's not even on there saying, you know, contact us for details, just empty. All the stores closed, everyone booted out, poof, like that, overnight. And this company was buying stores in 2012. It was taking over the other people's stores. Not that long ago, they were out there doing stuff and then poof, gone in a flash.
Bad
photographic pun there. but yes, it's just amazing. This industry is in such turmoil continually.
Yeah.
Coming back to Australia, another weird thing happened in the photo world this week that I must say kind of surprised me. That Canon Australia, you might have heard of them, they bought out a company called Sun Studios.
Okay.
Now, Sun Studios are
Sydney, not the recording studio in Memphis, obviously.
Not the same one. Not, but Sun Studios, massive, massive studio in Sydney. And a fairly big one, big camera rental organization, all sorts of stuff. But what's Canon Australia doing buying into a studio?
I don't know. Have you got any insight on that?
Not at all. This kind of baffles me that my only thought is that they had some serious investment with this organization already, and they're about to go under. So, well, if we don't buy, we lose our investment. That's the only thing that makes any sense. Because what's a wholesaler of cameras doing running a professional photo lab and hiring system? I got no idea.
No, makes no sense.
It's like, I mean, it's not like Canon. The closest thing Canon get to dealing with the end user is either through their Canon professional services or through their website where they sell gear. They don't really interact with the public. They don't. They don't run
camera shops
that take businesses that take photos. So it's a very strange arrangement, I'd have to say there as well.
But could they be looking for some sort of bricks and mortar working environment that gives them a platform for showing off their technology? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just kicking ideas around.
It's a lot of investment for something they could hire for a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The interesting thing is the Sun Studios in Sydney is so big that Canon Professional Services have actually been based out of there for quite a few years.
Right.
So they actually, all the business of Canon Pro has been run out of there as well. So it's a funny little arrangement, I've got to say,
But
we'll see. And Canon also launched recently, I don't know when, but I came across today, a new photo competition for consumers called Shine.
Right.
So, and this is the vaguest of vague photo competitions.
Okay.
being that the conditions basically is this. This is what you have to do. Think of something that matters to you, where you want people to see things in a new light or feel a certain way, and shoot that and write 50 words about it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to do a selfie. It matters to me. I want people to see me in a new light and feel a certain way, and that's a lot of love. Can you feel the love? Come on, baby. Feel the love.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got my phone here. I'm going to do my selfie right now. Right. But there's like another month to go for this competition going on, and don't even know what the prizes are. I'm sure there's probably a couple of Nikon cameras or something. first prize a Nikon D4S, second prize two Nikon D4Ss. Actually, no, it'd have to be a D600. It's had so many problems with that. Third prize, three of them, if you like entering photo comps, it's not a bad thing to go by,
Right.
And then I came across these are most amazing photographs of bubbles.
Bubbles?
You know, little soap bubbles that you blow, the kids blow and stuff.
Michael Jackson's monkey.
Come on, Bubbles, it's time for bed. That's more Minnie Mouse. Same thing. I won't come out with any bad Michael Jackson's jokes. The family may still sue. But I always loved that one about, you know, no, I won't go there. Anyone who wants to know the really bad Michael Jackson joke can Facebook message me and I'll tell it to them there.
Right.
But this guy takes these photos. His name's Richard Heeks. He takes photographs of just these soap bubbles.
Oh, okay.
And they're remarkable. Yeah, just wonderful. Yeah, it's all about the reflections in them and the detail and the surroundings and how the environment is putting them into to create these great reflections and stuff. And just once again, simple stuff that's just done so well. It's just lovely to look at.
Yeah, right.
So we'll put that there.
I don't think I've got that link in the stuff you sent me.
Just sent it just then.
Oh, okay. Right.
But it'd be the one saying Richard Heeks bubble photography, just to give you a heads up.
Nice.
Just in case you thought it was the one about Nikon free D600s. Buy one, get two free. That's not so nice. For all you people out there using them, oh dear. Anyway, and then just last night, I was just about to pack up and go to bed.
Yeah.
And you got to just check the channels one last time, just in case.
Yeah.
It was like about midnight or something.
Right.
And I stumbled across this video, this documentary on this Australian wildlife photographer.
Right.
Called Jim Frazier.
Okay.
Who invented this thing called the infinity lens.
Right.
And the infinity lens is basically a lens that has everything in focus from the lens cap to infinity.
Wow.
And okay. So he used to be the guy who filmed all the David Attenborough wildlife documentaries.
Oh wow, really?
So he's got some skill. Yeah, he's got some videos.
He's got some runs on the board.
He's got some cred. But he was always frustrated. You know, if I'm trying to photograph an ant walking across a twig, the frustration of trying to get the ant in focus, but some sort of detail in the background to give it context and so on.
Yeah.
And so he struggled with stuff, and he went to check out all these scientists around the world to see if they had any optical scientists, and no one had a solution. He went to Australia's CSIRO, which is the Centre for Scientific Research Organisation.
Yeah.
As an aside, years ago, I caught a credit card thief, and it got him done by the police. He came in into a store I was working in and wanted to use a CSIRO credit card to buy this gear, and he seemed a bit suspicious. So I asked him, what does CSIRO stand for? He didn't know, so it was done. Anyway, so he went to the CSIRO.
The fact that you didn't know didn't count.
Oh, but I knew it had something to do with research organisation and science and institute, who knows. But I knew at least three of the five, which is more than him, I might say.
Right.
if you're gonna steal a BHP credit card, at least know what BHP stands for.
That's right.
Kind of important. So he went to the CSIRO and said, this is what I want to achieve. I want a lens that can have everything in focus. They said, it's beyond the laws of physics.
Right.
Beyond the laws of optical physics for that to happen. And so he didn't believe that. So he went, and over a course of 10 years fiddling around with lenses, he invented this lens.
Wow.
That completely revolutionary. Now, he won. See, what he did, he used a prototype to make a video called The Web of Intrigue, and it was a film about spiders, and he won an Emmy Award for it. It was that good.
Wow.
And then all these Hollywood people came and wanted to start using his lenses, and the Titanic was filmed with it, Spielberg stuff with the dinosaurs. All the stuff was filmed with this lens.
Wow.
And so this is over the last 15 or so years. But here's the thing: there's three revolutionary elements, he reckoned. There's the set and forget focus, which holds everything from front of lens to infinity in focus all the time.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Then a swivel tip, so that without moving the camera, you can swivel the lens in any direction in the complete sphere if needs be to change the angle of view.
Wow.
Pretty darn cool. And then a built-in image rotator, which allows the image to be rotated inside the lens without spinning the camera.
Wow.
All inside this one lens, which is
wow,
pretty revolutionary.
That's trippy.
And
See, the interesting thing about the second of those points, the bit about being able to tilt the lens to view in any direction without moving the camera, implies that the rays of light are coming in not perpendicular to the sensor.
But yeah, they're probably not coming straight in either.
Thank you. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so he's got a way of bending those light. Who knows what he's doing?
Call him Yoda.
Light bender does. I don't know why we're doing voices tonight.
That's you, man. That's not me.
You did Kylie Minogue earlier. I heard you.
I don't think I did.
Speaking of voices, just an aside before we go back, is I watched a video of the song Let It Go a couple of days ago, which is this big song from the movie Frozen, which is a kids' movie, which won the Oscar for best song in a movie this year.
Right.
But there's one guy who's done a YouTube mashup of all the Disney characters he can think of, all singing the song. But I watched the video of him actually doing it, and he does the whole song in one go. That's about 30 different Disney characters.
Right.
Just in one go. So he's changing from he didn't do Donald Duck, but he's changing from one character in one movie to another one, each almost every line of the song.
Wow.
Brilliant, brilliant. Amazing what skills some people have.
Yeah.
But that's an aside. So anyway, so Panavision. I'll just jump back into the story halfway through. So Panavision, the world's biggest film equipment company, they want the lens and they signed an exclusive deal with him, right, to get this lens.
Right.
But then all the competitors who can't produce this thing start getting a bit antsy. Yeah, so they try and find a way to undermine him.
Right.
And they found that when he applied for the patent for this lens,
yeah,
the footage he used to show that it could be done wasn't done with one of his lenses. It was done with some other way.
No. Why would you do that?
Well, because he hadn't actually got the thing. He got the idea, but not he hadn't actually built it. He didn't have the funds to build it. But he needed to get the patent in because it was revolutionary.
Why didn't he resubmit once he'd got it going?
And so, and he said, well, no, I didn't lie to the, I didn't say it was film. I said, this is the effect. Yeah. I was showing what this lens is going to be able to do without actually saying, you know, this is done with it.
Yeah.
So as far as he wasn't actually defrauding anybody.
Yep.
So I had this mess. So then Panavision dumped him and all this amazing stuff. Mm. So this whole documentary goes on and on and on, and how all these Hollywood people then come in and rescue him and start up companies and put in fighting funds. And so it was a great documentary on a lens I never even knew existed.
Yeah.
And still being used, apparently, almost every what's so amazing about this thing is not only its ability for focus, but how it's reduced shooting times, because rather than have to completely change setups when the director wants a slightly different angle, they can swivel the lens a bit, they can do all this stuff.
Wow.
Without requiring stacks. So what used to take them 3 days to shoot a scene, they can do in a day.
Wow.
Because of this lens. So you imagine the cost that's freed up.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was just a great documentary. And
so how long was the documentary run?
Well, I saw about 35 minutes of it. I think it goes for about an hour, but it's called The Aussie Who Baffled the World.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the National Geographic Channel page, and it says about the show, and then it says episodes. So I'm thinking, are there multiple?
The link I sent you is actually a teacher's aid site.
Right.
So it's where they show this documentary to students and get them to answer questions and do it as a project. So they may have broken it down into multiple pieces.
Right.
For that.
Interesting.
But definitely, if you get a chance to look it up, because I mean, it was fascinating stuff and what you learn about lenses. And this guy invented this other lens that one of his saviors was talking. He said, he's come up to my place one day, he's got this element, this glass element in his hand.
Yeah.
He goes, watch this, and he throws it down onto concrete and it bounces back up again.
Right.
And he's made a non-breakable glass element.
Who is this?
The same guy.
Wow. Who invented
this infinity lens.
Wow.
So the guy's just a freak, apparently, a freak of just visualization and stuff and ideas. But, yeah, if you'd love that, and I thought it'd be right up your alley because it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It fairly technical, and even I got a bit excited about it. And I give a what's it normally.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, I don't know if it's going to be on Australian cable TV again.
Right.
Sometime in the near future, I'd imagine, because they always replay that stuff about 400 times.
Yeah.
So if you, or just Google it, it might even be available on YouTube as a whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But definitely, definitely worth having a gander.
Hmm. I shall definitely have a look at that.
And that's about my week.
Cool.
It's been a pretty busy one, yeah. But now that school holidays finished and the kids have gone back to school, I've going to actually start getting some stuff done. Oh, and I've just announced today, just whilst I think about it, if anyone's up that end of the world, towards the end of July, I'm doing a weekend boot camp, photography boot camp up in Rockhampton in Queensland, for anyone who's keen to come along.
Cool. What's a boot camp entail?
I just shove a couple of workshops together and call it a boot camp.
Right. Nice.
Shh. Don't let anyone know. That's just between me and you, okay?
Right. Okay. Excellent. Sounds good.
You bundle them together as a package price and sounds cheaper than doing them individually.
Awesome.
It's easier to sell because you have to have multiple events with people at different ones. It's easier to remember their names because the same people come three events in a row. Yeah, but this is between me and you, and okay. Don't tell anybody this
Not
stuff.
Telling a soul.
Trade secrets. Anyway.
Good stuff. All right, mate. Well, I won't see you next week. I will see you next week, but in the flesh.
You'll see me in the, we'll see each other live. Yes. We'll see each other live in Melbourne. We're going to have a hoot, and we'll talk about it next week and see what came of our shooting time together.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, I'll see you Monday.
You will. Take care. Bye. Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.